Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the original identity, of the original Iber Yasharal, man, one asleep, mind at a time. It indeed is a pleasure to come back to you and be on this holy Shabbat as we are moving into moving into our holy season. Yes, you've got that pagan Easter coming, but that trumps and pales in comparison to what happens during the first month of the Hebrew calendar, which brings us into Passover. Before I go any further, let's go before our Abba in prayer. Definitely want to pray with you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. So be it. We reach out to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua. for our brothers and sisters spread throughout the four corners today who are needing encouragement, hope, and faith to be increased and to take their eyes off of the storm and focus back on Yasha. So many things happening around us, so much sickness, so many people dropping, but you said in Psalms 91 that 1,000 would fall at our left, 10,000 at our right, but these plagues won't come nigh our dwelling. We thank you for divine protection through the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit that covers us, comforts us, and protects us, and I ask that it be activated on today, that people's faith may be increased, prophets will prophesy the truth, and that the wolves in sheep's clothing will be exposed and brought to naught. For we need you in this hour. We need to comfort, exhort, love, and cover one another and keep the faith. We praise you in advance for all these things being done, for we know there is a remnant that shall overcome the storm and endure until the end. Let it be so. In the name of Yahshua, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises. I pray that you're doing well. I'm not going to teach today. We're going to do a treatise on the vision of Paul. And if you recall, last week we read some of the vision of Paul, but we talked about it because we wanted to cover the fact that it was Paul that confirmed the fact that we all have an angel assigned to us, that when the sun goes down and the sons of God, the angels, go back before the Most High, that they bring report of your daily activities, the things that you've done, the alms you've given, the charity you have submitted unto others and travelers, and talked about how Abraham and Isaac entertained angels and how many of us entertain angels and the way we treat them. We covered that. But there's so much more to the book in the vision of Paul. And to be specific, what happens to the wicked and what happens to the righteous when we die. And this book has been a blessing to me, along with other books such as 2 Esdras and the vision of Isaiah, because I've lost loved ones within the last 3 years during this pandemic, and it's comforted me to know where they went, hopefully, according to the righteousness that they portrayed during their lifetime. And I'm hoping it will encourage you to live out the rest of your days from hearing this in a righteous manner and realize sin that does not need to have impact upon your daily deeds and your life. You can live a life without sin, and it's not worth it because this is brief down here. That's eternal. And I'm hoping you're encouraged in that capacity to realize that it's not worth it for the temporary pleasures that exist and that permeate this wicked earth. Your eternal soul is not worth it. I'm not going to do the reading. It's quite a long reading. And there's a young man by the name of Zen Garcia, who's everything esoteric and so well-versed, other pseudepigraphal and apocryphal books and chapters and scriptures I tend to ascribe to a lot of his teachings, readings, and his books because he's done some deep research. So I'm going to let him read and let some of his commentary play, and I've left the YouTube link in the episode info area. And I'm going to not belabor the time because it's going to be probably a little bit over an hour today to do the complete reading, but I hope this reading blesses you and that you will study the vision of Paul. It will answer a lot of questions for you. Do they know about what you're doing up in heaven, your exploits? Will they recognize you? Does family know each other? All this is answered. Questions answered that the Christian church was never able to answer for you. So I pray that this will bless you. And as I said, I'm not going to start from the beginning of his broadcast. I'm going to start at a point where the angels are taking up a soul who's about to leave the earth, who's righteous, because last week we already covered the first part about the assignment of angels to every elect Israelite in the earth. So I digress. I pray that this blesses you and we'll come back towards the end. Bear with me, brothers and sisters. The audio was not clear, so we're going to have to switch up the audio and how we broadcast this. Give me 1 second.
Oops. That they have.
All right, here we go.
For their helper, vices. These I saw under the firmament of heaven. And again, I look back. And I saw the angels, without mercy, having no pity, whose countenance was full of madness, and their teeth sticking in the mouth. Their eyes shone like the morning star of the east, and from the hairs of their head, sparks of fire went out, or from their mouth. And I asked the angel, saying, Sir, who are those? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are those who are destined to the souls of the impious. In the hour of need, who did not believe, but that they had the Lord for their helper, nor hoped in him at all. And I looked on high, and I saw other angels, whose countenance shone as the sun, their loins girded with golden girdles, having palms in their hands, and the Son of God clothed with garments, in which was written the name of the Son of God, filled moreover with all meekness and pity. And I asked the angel, saying, Who are these, Lord, in so great beauty and pity? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the angels of justice who are sent to lead up the souls of the just in the hour of need, who believed that they had the Lord for their helper. And I said to him, Do the just and sinners necessarily meet witnesses when they have died? And the angel answered and said to me, There is one way by which all pass over to God. The just, having their helper with them, are not confounded when they go to appear in the sight of God. And I said to the angel, I wish to see the souls of the just and of the sinners going out of the world. And the angel answered and said unto me, Look down upon the earth, and I looked down from heaven upon the earth and saw the whole world. And it was nothing in my sight. And I saw the sons of men as though they were not and wanting. And I wondered and said to the angel, Is this the greatness of men? And the angel answered and said unto me, It is. And there are they who do evil from morning till evening. And I looked and saw a great cloud of fire spread over the whole world. And I said to the angel, What is this, my Lord? And he said to me, This is injustice stirred up by the princes of sinners. I indeed, when I had heard this, sighed and wept and said to the angel, I wish to see the souls of the just and of sinners, and to see in what manner they go out of the body. And the angel answered and said unto me, Look again upon the earth. And I looked, and I saw all the world, and men were as naught and a wanting. And I looked carefully and saw a certain man about to die. And the angel said to me, This one whom thou seest is a just man. And I looked again and saw all his works, whatever he had done for the sake of God's name, and all his desires, both what he remembered and what he did not remember. They all stood in his sight in the hour of need. And I saw the just man advance and find refreshment and confidence. And before he went out of the world, the holy and the impious angels both attended. and I saw them all. But the impious found no place of habitation in him. But the holy took possession of his soul, guiding it till it went out of the body. And they roused the soul, saying, Soul, know thy body whence thou goest out. For it is necessary that thou shouldst return to the same body on the day of the resurrection, that thou mayest receive the things promised to all the just. Receiving, therefore, the soul from the body, they immediately kissed it, as familiarly known to them, saying to it, Do manfully, for thou hast done the will of God while placed in the earth. And there came to meet him the angel who watched him every day and said to him, Do manfully, soul, for I rejoice in thee, because thou hast done the will of God on earth. For I related to God all thy works, such as they were. Similarly also the Spirit proceedeth to meet him and said, Soul, fear not, nor be disturbed, until thou comest into a place which thou hast never known. But I will be a helper unto thee, for I found in thee a place of refreshment in the time when I dwelt in thee while I was on the earth. And his Spirit strengthened him, and his angel received him and led him into heaven. And an angel said, Whither runnest thou, O soul, and dost thou dare to enter into heaven? Wait, and let us see if there is anything of ours in thee. And behold, we find nothing in thee. I see also thy divine helper, an angel, and the Spirit is rejoicing along with thee, because thou hast done the will of God on earth. And they led him along till he should worship in the sight of God. And when they had ceased, immediately Michael and all the army of angels with one voice adored the footstool of his feet and his doom, saying at the same time to the soul, This is your God of all things, who made you in his own image and likeness. Moreover, the angel returns and points him out, saying, God, remember the labors, for this is the soul whose works I related to thee, doing according to thy judgment. And the Spirit said, Likewise, I am the Spirit of vivification, inspiring him, for I had refreshment in him in the time when I dwelt in him, doing according to thy judgment. And there came the voice of God and said, Inasmuch as this man did not vex me, neither will I vex him. For according as he had pity, I also will have pity. Let him therefore be handed over to Michael, the angel of the covenant, and let him lead him into the paradise of joy, that he himself may become co-heir with all the saints. And after these things I heard the voices of 1,000,000 angels and archangels and cherubim and 24 elders saying hymns and glorifying the Lord and crying, Thou art just, O Lord, and just are thy judgments. And there is no acceptance of persons with thee, but thou rewardest unto every man according to thy judgment. And the angel answered and said unto me, hast thou believed and known that whatever each man of you has done, he sees in the hour of need? And I said, yes, sir. Chapter 15. And he saith to me, look again down on the earth, and watch the soul of an impious man going out of the body, which vexed the Lord day and night, saying, I know nothing else in this world. I eat and drink and enjoy what is in the world. For who is there who has descended into hell and ascending has declared to us that there is judgment there? And again I looked carefully, and I saw all the scorn of the sinners and all that he did, and all that they stood together before him in the hour of need. And it was done to him in that hour in which he was threatened about his body at the judgment. And I said, it were better for him if he had not been born. And after these, there came at the same time the holy angels and the malign and the soul of the sinner. And the holy angels did not find a place in it. Moreover, the malign angels cursed it. And when they had drawn it out of the body, the angels admonished it a third time, saying, O wretched soul, look upon thy flesh, whence thou camest out, for it is necessary thou should return to thy flesh in the day of resurrection, thou mayest receive the due for thy sins and thy impieties. And when they had led it forth, the customary angel preceded it, and said to it, O wretched soul, I am the angel belonging to thee, relating daily to the Lord thy malign works, whatever thou didst by night or day. And if it were in my power, not for one day would I minister to thee. But none of these things was I able to do. The judge is pitiful and just, and he himself commanded us that we should not cease to minister to the soul till you should repent. But thou hast lost the time of repentance. I indeed was strange to thee, and thou to me. Let us go on then to the just judge. I will not dismiss thee before I know from today why I was strange to thee. And the spirit confounded him, and the angel troubled him. When therefore they had arrived at the power, when he started to enter heaven, a labor was imposed upon him above all other labor. Error and oblivion and murmuring met him, and the spirit of fornication and the rest of the powers. And they said to him, whither goest thou, wretched soul, and darest thou to rush into heaven? Hold, that we may see if we have our qualities in thee, since we do not see that thou hast a holy helper. And after that, I heard voices in the height of heaven saying, present that wretched soul to God, that it may know that it is God that it despised. When therefore it had entered heaven, all the angels saw it, a thousand exclaimed with one voice, all saying, woe to thee, wretched soul, for the sake of thy works, which thou didst on the earth. What answer art thou about to give God when thou shalt have approached to adore him? The angel who was with it answered and said, weep with me, my beloved, for I have not found rest in this soul. And the angels answered him and said, let such a soul be taken away from the midst of ours. For from the time he entered, the stink of him crosses to us angels. And after these things, it was presented that it might worship in the sight of God. And an angel of God showed him God, who made him after his own image and likeness. Moreover, his angel ran before him, saying, Lord God Almighty, I am the angel of this soul, whose works I presented to thee day and night, not doing according to thy judgment. And the Spirit likewise said, I am the Spirit who dwelt in it from the time it was made. In itself, moreover, I know it, and it has not followed my will. Judge it, Lord, according to thy judgment. And there came the voice of God to it and said, where is thy fruit, which thou hast made worthy of the good which thou hast received? Have I put a distance of one day between thee and the just man? Did I not make the sun to arise upon thee as upon the just? But the soul was silent, having nothing to answer. And again there came a voice saying, just is the judgment of God, and there is no acceptance of persons with God. For whoever shall have done mercy on them shall he have mercy, and whoever shall not have pitied, neither shall God pity him. Let him therefore be handed over to the angel of Tartarus, who is set over the punishments, and let him place him in outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and let him be there till the great day of judgment. And after these things, I heard a voice of angels and archangels saying, thou art just, Lord, and thy judgments is just. And again I saw, and behold, a soul which was led forward by two angels, weeping and saying, have pity on me, just God, God the judge. For today is 7 days since I went out of my body, and I was handed over to these two angels, and they led me through to those places which I had never seen. And God the just judge said to him, what hast thou done? For thou never didst mercy. Wherefore thou wast handed over to such angels as have no mercy. And because thou didst not do so uprightly, so neither did they act piously with thee in the hour of thy need. Confess therefore thy sins, which thou didst commit when placed in the world. And he answered and said, Lord, I did not sin. And the Lord, the just Lord, was angered in fury when it said, I did not sin, because it lied And God said, dost thou think thou art still in the world? If any one of you sitting there conceal and hide his sin from his neighbor, hear indeed nothing whatever shall be hid. For when the souls come to adore inside of the throne, both the good works and the sins of each are made manifest. And hearing these things, the soul was silent, having no answer. And I heard the Lord God, the just judge, again saying, come, angel of the soul, and stand in the midst. And the angel of the sinful soul came, having in his hands a manuscript, and said, these, Lord, in my hands are all the sins of the soul from the youth till today.
I didn't want to interrupt, but it brings up a good point in this part of the reading. Here's a soul who lived wickedly, and the Bible, the Apocrypha, the vision of Zechariah, they all speak of this 8-day journey. And in Indian stories and fables, when hummingbirds show up, it represents that the 8-day journey is complete, but that's something for here nor there. This particular soul was grabbed by these angels for an 8-day journey before it arrived before the Most High, and still continued to lie. Father asked the soul, what did you do when I put you on the earth? All you did was commit sins your entire life. This takes me back to Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you and I called you. Many of you saw the animation film Soul. You need to understand that you're trying to get back to where you came from. We all are going back to where we came from. And in this matrix, what's being recorded is us repenting and converting and choosing a side. Here is a man who, even when he stood before the Most High, lied to him and said, I did nothing. And he asked him, do you think you're still in the world? This is how sin can penetrate, cover you, and take you over so much that you think you can get away with lying to your Creator. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to pause on that one point about only what you do for Christ will last, and that's recorded. We all have this expiration date. And it's all contingent upon what you do now. Can't stress that enough, the importance. So I hope that you're paying close attention. Let's go back to this reading.
From the 10th year of his birth. And if thou command, Lord, I will also relate his acts from the beginning of his 15th year. And the Lord God, the just judge, said, I say unto thee, angel, I do not expect of thee an account of him since he began to be 15 years old, but stayed his sins from 5 years before he died and before he came hither.
Listen to this merciful God saying, the angel said, listen, I got the records from when he was 10 years old or 15, whichever one you want, God. God said, no, just give me the last 5 years of his life, and let's see what he did with that. Everything and every sin you have ever committed is recorded, and it's up to God to have mercy and choose what he wants to judge you on. You can wipe the slate clean today moving forward from things that you've done that you don't even remember you've done. You know, the parties you woke up from, or the night you woke up without your underwear, or you woke up in somebody else's house, or you woke up laying in the streets, or you woke up in a still in the club. All that's recorded. You thought it was a night of fun. It was a night of wretchedness and wickedness. It's recorded against you because you choose not to serve God and take care of the needy. So the merciful God is being like what they talk about in the book of Ezekiel, that your righteousness can wipe out your wicked deeds towards the end of your life. He'll throw those things in the sea of forgetfulness, and we see this here. And everything's confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses, which is why I just had to interrupt. He said, I'll wipe the blood off your hands if you espouse to live righteously towards the end of your life. And I want you to constantly think, and I'm doing this because we're in the hour of repentance, because we're at the end of days, and these are the birth pains that the earth is going through before Christ comes back. He's on his way back, and you need to repent. You can't, like, keep going to your false Sunday worship service, taking communion, and then committing adultery after communion, or negating that the statutes and laws and commandments were never done away with. We have to repent and live right, and it's well worth it. Let's continue with this reading.
And again, God, the just judge, said, for by myself, if I swear and by my holy angels, and by my virtue, that if he had repented 5 years before he died, on account of 1 year's life, oblivion would now be thrown over all the evils which he sinned before, and he would have indulgence and remission of sins. Now, indeed, he shall perish. And the angel of the sinful soul answered and said, Lord, command that angel to exhibit those souls. 18. And in that same hour, the souls were exhibited in the midst, and the soul of the sinner knew them. And the Lord said to the soul of the sinner, I say unto thee, soul, confess thy works which thou routest in these souls whom thou seest when they were in the world. And he answered and said, Lord, it is not yet a full year since I slew this one and poured his blood out upon the ground. And with another, a woman, I committed fornication. Not this alone, but I also gravely harnessed her in taking away her goods. And the Lord God, the just judge, said, either thou didst not know that he who does violence to another, if he dies first, who sustains the violence, is kept in this place until the doer of hurt dies. And then both stand in the presence of the judge. And now each receives according to his deed. And I heard a voice of one saying, let the soul be delivered into the hands of Tartarus and let down into hell. He shall lead him into the lower prison, and he shall be put in torments and left there till the great day of judgment. And again, I heard a thousand angels saying hymns to the Lord and crying, thou art just, O Lord, and just are thy judgments. 19. The angel answered and said unto me, hast thou perceived all these things? And I said, yes, sir. And he said to me, follow me again, and I will take thee, and show thee the places of the just. And I followed the angel, and he raised me up to the third heaven, placed me at the entry of the door. And looking carefully, I saw, and the door was of gold, and two columns of gold, full above of golden letters. And the angel turned again to me and said, blessed wast thou, if thou hast entered into these doors, for it is not allowed to any to enter, except only to those who have goodness and innocence of body in all things. And I asked the angel.
Let me pause before we go into the third heaven, paradise, because this is going to be good, where you'll see Abraham introduce his son Isaac, so that lets you know that your loved ones who moved on know that the person who's there was their son and is their son and of their seed. I want to go back to what you just heard. What Isaac, Paul saw in the vision was that one who has murdered someone, their victim awaits in a place of holding, not in hell or in paradise, until the person who murdered them appears. Then they both go before the judgment to God. And the murderer goes to Tartarus, which is Sheol, which is hell, which is the place below earth. So shedding innocent blood, murdering Some of you need to think twice about, you know, before you pull triggers and do certain things. Now, let me go back. Who's having this vision? Paul. Who was Paul? A murderer of the Jews. But once he started to live righteous, all of that was abolished and wiped out. So I hope that answers questions about some of you who struggle. I knew a lot of people that used to talk to me in counseling about the fact that they had murdered someone. And what they wanted to know what was going to happen to them. And there's a different judgment. They will go before the Most High. Now let's continue with Paul being taken by the angel into paradise, which is the third heaven.
About everything. And said, sir, tell me on what account these letters are put upon those tables. The angel answered and said unto me, these are the names of the just serving God with their whole heart, who dwell on the earth. And again I said, sir, therefore their names and countenances and the likeness of these who serve God are in heaven and are known to the angels, for they know who are the servants of God with all their heart before they go out of the world. And when I had entered the interior of the gate of paradise, there came out to meet me an old man, his countenance shone as the sun. And when he had embraced me, he said, hail, Paul, beloved of God. And he kissed me with a cheerful countenance. He wept, and I said to him, brother, why dost thou weep? And again, sighing and lamenting, he said, we are hurt by men, and they vex us greatly. For many are the good things which the Lord has prepared, and great is his promise. But many do not perceive them. And I asked the angel and said, sir, who is this? And he said to me, this is Enoch, the scribe of righteousness. All right, I'm going to stop there. We got 2 minutes before break. But I wanted to bring something up with regard to both the soul of the wicked and the soul of the just man after their death. And when they had died, you see how both the angels of heaven and also the angels of Tartarus, they come forth to see if their nature is found within that individual. And that when the individual is brought before God, not only does his guardian angel give account of all that he has done, but also the Holy Spirit that dwells within the man gives an account and declares, according to conscience, when it did not follow what it inherently knows to be right and wrong. And so that nefesh, that breath of life, the connecting link of the kingdom and God within us, Christ within us, that is the Holy Spirit. And she does present when the books of life are opened and every soul is brought before and an accounting of their life made to the Most High God, both at the time of death and, as we will see, at the time of the great white throne judgment, that the jury and the trial is similar, but the only thing that is different is that at the great white throne judgment, everybody will be together, and all the actions, the intent, the souls, and the behaviors of everybody will be made known to everybody else, so that the wages of sin are weighed and acknowledged by all people. And it's at that time that we'll learn the story of the fallen angels and the war in heaven and the revolt against God. All right, we'll be right back for second hour.
Okay, let me go ahead and fast forward this. I hope you're enjoying this. And I hope you paid attention to not only that commentary Zen gave, but the fact that everyone who's going to heaven, your name is already written down up there, and they know about you. And they're aware of your deeds and that you're doing good. It's up to you to get it erased. You're the one that can cause it to be erased by choosing to take the path of sin while you're down here. Because you just had to get high. You just had to steal. You just had to murder. Or he looks so good or she looks so good that you just have no self-control. Let's not be out of control, people. Let's carry on after the break. Let's see.
He had hidden a manuscript called The Vision of Paul, which is a greatly elaborated text on what is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul relates that he is taken up into the third heaven, which is where paradise, New Jerusalem, currently resides. And you notice that in this text as well, that when he was watching and seeing the account of the sinner, that this place that the sinner was taken was in the interior of the earth, that it was in Sheol. And then when the angel led him to the place of the righteous, where he met Enoch, the scribe of righteousness, that was then in the third heaven. And so this is confirmation that New Jerusalem, the place where Adam and Eve were given and to tend the garden of God, and the place which they fell from, that this is not on the earth. It is in the heaven. It is the city of God, the New Jerusalem, that descends down out of the heavens when the firmament rolls back like a scroll at the end of days, as related by Isaiah. And in that time, as John the Revelator saw, that when there is a new heaven and a new earth, then the New Jerusalem descends down here to the earth in preparation for the coming of Christ as bridegroom, and that the earth is recreated spotless and new, like a virgin bride awaiting the coming of the groom.
Right. I got to pause. This is so good. This is what I mentioned in an earlier broadcast. When Christ returns, the firmament will roll back like a scroll. Then it will be open. It's never been open. Nobody's been off this planet. And New Jerusalem, which is in paradise, in the third expanse, will come down, which will be a part of the millennial reign. Christ's not coming to live in this nuclear wasteland that's been infected by the synagogue of Satan and the corrupt. This place is dirty, nasty, filthy, cesspool of sin and shed blood. It's not coming to dwell on that, nor the saints. No, it's not happening. And many people wanted to contend with me and think that that doesn't happen until after the great white throne judgment. No, it's going to happen to go into that millennial reign. And be clear on what he just mentioned. Adam and Eve fell from paradise onto the earth, and there's a Garden of Eden that potentially exists that they had. They were actually put in a cave when they came here. And you find that in the Cave of Treasures. They were scared of this place that they were cast down to. Do your research, brothers and sisters, but I digress. Let me let this continue.
And then once it is made spotless and all sin removed,
right,
and recreated, where there's perfectly flat surface, there's no...
No more mountains.
There's no mountains, there's no seas, there's no change to or contour to the topography of the earth, that it will be made perfect as it had once been long ago, that all the crooked places will be made straight, the mountains brought high. I mean, the mountains brought low, the seas brought high. And the Revelation of St. John the Theologian covers this in great detail, as does the second book of the Sibylline Oracles. I did send an article out over in this latest newsletter, and there are certain portions, like when I originally read it, it was very long, and so Justin took the passages and gave you where you can go and find and read the information. And I understand why he did so, because it was extremely lengthy. But if you read the article, it gives you the exact references to the resources that I had taken out as excerpt and that I, in the original article, had put together and even highlighted certain passages, certain scriptures, so that you could understand better not only the timing of the rapture, but for the timeline of how the end of days plays out. And so check that out. Sign up for our newsletter. And we'll continue. But, you know, again, with the regard to the controversy of Paul, and one of the reasons why I wanted to read this text is to show you how Paul is treated by the saints in heaven and how he is greeted, even by Enoch, the scribe of righteousness, and how all of the ancient patriarchs which were resurrected, well, we know that Enoch and Elijah never succumbed to death, and that even when in the Gospel of Nicodemus, when Christ resurrects Adam and all those that had died and were bound in Sheol, even, you know, up until the thief on the cross that died with him, that when they went up into paradise and he was, you know, they were baptized in the Arturian Lake and then allowed to enter into New Jerusalem to, you know, dwell in the place of the righteous, that Enoch and Elijah were awaiting them. And even the thief was awaiting Adam and his descendants, because Christ told him that this day you shall be with me in paradise. And so he didn't have to go down into Sheol. He was given a pass and went straight to paradise. And he waited for the resurrection and what was the delivery of the first fruits of God and of the resurrected dead. And then when Christ ascended into heaven to present them as the high priest in the order of Melchizedek to the Father on what was the Feast of First Fruits, the 16th of Nisan, the third day when he resurrected. It was in that ritual of, you know, the waving of the traditional barley sheaf for the sins of Israel that Christ presented Adam and those that he had saved in bringing liberty to the captives, that they then were baptized by the archangel Michael in the Arturian Lake and allowed to enter into New Jerusalem to dwell until the second advent, when they will return with him. You know, that there will be 10,000 of saints returning with Christ at that time. And so let's look again here at how Paul is treated by the apostles. And then we'll continue with the reading. And when I had entered the interior of the gate of paradise, there came out to meet me an old man whose countenance shone as the sun And when he had embraced me, he said, "Hail, Paul, beloved of God." And he kissed me with a cheerful countenance. He wept, and I said to him, "Brother, why dost thou weep?" And again sighing and lamenting, he said, "We are hurt by men, and they vex us greatly. For many are the good things which the Lord has prepared, and great is his promise. Many do not perceive them." And I asked the angel and said, "Sir, who is this?" And he said to me, "This is Enoch, the scribe of righteousness." And I entered into the interior of that place, and immediately I saw the sun. And coming, it saluted me, laughing and rejoicing. And when it had seen me, it turned away and wept and said to me, "Paul, would thou that thou shouldst receive thy labors, which thou hast done in the human race. For me, indeed, I have seen the great and many good things which God has prepared for the just. And the promises of God are great, but many do not perceive them. But even by many labors, scarcely one or two enters into these places." And that reminds me of the passage in the, I believe it's the Gospel of Thomas, where it says, "I will call you one from 1,000, two from 10,000. And how, you know, that gives a depiction of how the elect, those numbered and found worthy of being counted with the righteous, that they are few. Unfortunately, the true believers are a small minority. And so that's why I implore all of you to prioritize the kingdom and to do everything in your power while we are yet alive in this world to find ourselves not falling short and not wanting, but secure in the salvation of Christ that he so graciously offers to all people everywhere.
Amen.
All right, continuing, chapter 21. And the angel answered and said to me, "Whatever I now show thee here, and whatever thou shalt hear, tell it not to anyone in the earth." And he led me and showed me, and there I heard words which it is not lawful for a man to speak. And again he said, "For now follow me, and I will show thee what thou oughtst to narrate in public and relate." So remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says that, you know, he was revealed these mysteries which it's not lawful for him to relate. This is what he's specifying. But because he wrote this down in this manuscript, we have a relation of what those mysteries are. And he took me down from the third heaven and led me into the second heaven. And again, he led me on to the firmament. And from the firmament, he led me over the doors of heaven. The beginning of its foundation was on the river which waters all the earth. This is the Arcturian Link. And I asked the angel and I said, "Lord, what is this river of water?" And he said to me, "This is Oceanus." And suddenly I went out of heaven and I understood that it is the light of heaven which lightens all the earth. For the land there is seven times brighter than silver. And I said, "Lord, what is this place?" And he said to me, "This is the land of promise. Hast thou never heard what is written? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The souls, therefore, of the just, when they have gone out of the body, are meanwhile dismissed to this place. And I said to the angel then, this land will be manifested before the time. The angel answered and said to me, when Christ, whom thou preachest, shall come to reign, then by the sentence of God, the first earth will be dissolved, and this land of promise will then be revealed. Remember Revelation 20 and 21, that when New Jerusalem descends, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and before the millennial reign. And it will be like dew or cloud, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, the King Eternal, will be manifested and will come with all his saints to dwell in it. And he will reign over them 1,000 years, and they will eat of the good things which I shall now show unto thee. And so see here, this is confirmation that New Jerusalem descends out of the heavens when there is a new heaven and a new earth, and then Christ and those that are counted and numbered amongst the elect enter into it to dwell for the 1,000 years of the Sabbath rest of the millennial reign. Because I know a lot of people believe that it's at the end of the millennial reign that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and that the great white throne judgment takes place. But that's not what the scriptures say. I mean, the totality of the scriptures. It seemingly says that in Revelation, but you have to separate where there's a, you know, the great white throne judgment, and it says before that, you know, that it's at the end of the millennial reign that, you know, the great white throne judgment takes place. But that's not, even though it seems to be written like that, that's not how it plays out. And that's, again, one of the reasons why you have to study the fullness of all the scriptures in order to be able to make sense of the timing and the alignment of how things really play out.
Right.
Chapter 22. And I looked around upon that land, and I saw a river flowing of milk and honey, and there were trees planted by the bank of that river full of fruit. Moreover, each single tree bore 12 fruits in the year, having various and diverse fruits. And I saw the created things which are in that place and all the work of God. And I saw their palms of 20 cubits, but others of 10 cubits, and the land was 7 times brighter than silver. And there were trees full of fruits from the roots to the highest branches, of 10,000 fruits of palms upon 10,000 fruits. The grapevines, moreover, had 10,000 plants. Moreover, in the single vines, there were 10,000 bunches, and each of these 1,000 single grapes. Moreover, these single trees bore 1,000 fruits. And I said to the angel, why does each tree bear 1,000 fruits? The angel answered and said unto me, because the Lord God gives an abounding flood of gifts to the worthy, because they also of their own will afflicted themselves when they were placed in the world, doing all things on account of his holy name. And again I said to the angel, sir, are these the only promises which the Most High God makes? And he answered and said to me, no, there are 7 times greater than these. But I say unto thee, that when the just go out of the body, they shall see the promises and the good things which God has prepared for them. Till then they shall sigh and lament, saying, have we omitted any word from our mouth to vex our neighbor even one day? I asked and said again, are these alone the promises of God? And the angel answered and said unto me, these whom you now see are the souls of the married, and those who kept the chastity of their nuptials, containing themselves. But to the virgins and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and those who afflicted themselves for the sake of the name of God, God will give them 7 times greater than these, which I shall now show thee. And then he took me up from that place where I saw these things, and behold, a river and its waters were greatly whiter than milk. And I said to the angel, what is this? And he said to me, this is the Arcturian Lake, where is the city of Christ. But not every man is permitted to enter that city. For this is the journey which leads to God. And if anyone is a fornicator and impious and is converted and shall repent and do fruits worthy of repentance, at first indeed when he shall have gone out of the body, he is led and adores God, and thence by command of the Lord he is delivered to the angel Michael, and he baptizes him in the Arcturian Lake. Thus he leads them into the city of Christ alongside of those who have never sinned. But I wondered and blessed the Lord God for all the things which I saw. And the angel answered and said unto me, follow me, and I will lead thee into the city of Christ. And he was standing on the Arcturian Lake, and he put me into a golden ship. And angels, as it were, 3,000 were singing hymns before me till I arrived at the city of Christ. Moreover, those who inhabited the city of Christ greatly rejoiced over me as I went to them. And I entered and I saw the city of Christ, and it was all of gold, and 12 walls encircled it, and 12 interior towers, and each wall had between them single stadia in the circuit. And I said to the angel, sir, how much is the stadium? The angel answered and said to me, as much as there is between the Lord God and the men who are on the earth, for the city of Christ is alone great. And there were 12 gates in the circuit of the city of great beauty, and 4 rivers which encircled it. There was, moreover, a river of honey, a river of milk, a river of wine, and a river of oil. And I said to the angel, what are these rivers surrounding that city? And he saith to me, these are the 4 rivers which flow sufficiently for those who are in the land of promise, of which the names are, the river of honey is called Sison, the river of milk, Euphrates, the river of oil, Gihon, and the river of wine, Tigris. Such, therefore, they are for those who, when placed in the world, did not use the power of these things, but they hungered for these things and afflicted themselves for the sake of the Lord God, so that when these enter into the city, the Lord will assign them these things on high above all measure. Chapter 24. I, indeed, entering the gate, saw trees great and very high before the doors of the city, having no fruit but leaves only. And I saw a few men scattered in the midst of the trees, and they lamented greatly when they saw anyone enter the city. And those trees were sorry for them, and humbled themselves, and bowed down, and again erected themselves. And I saw and wept with them. And I asked the angel and said, sir, who are these who are not admitted to enter into the city of Christ? And he said to me, these are they who zealously abstained day and night in fast, but they had a proud heart above other men, glorifying and praising themselves and doing nothing for their neighbors. For they gave some friendly greeting, but to others they did not even say, hail. And indeed, they showed hospitality to those only whom they wished. And if they did anything whatever for their neighbor, they were immoderately puffed up. And I said, what then, sir? Did their pride prevent them from entering into the city of Christ? And the angel answered and said unto me, pride is the root of all evils. Are they better than the Son of God, who came to the Jews with much humility?
And I'm going to pause on this because this is describing your modern-day false prophets and pastors who preach for gain and for money, who live in mansions, who have prayer lines that involve money and amounts of money, and that are rich, and that won't even allow you to speak to them without an appointment going through a security guard or seeing somebody beneath them first. Pride. One who fasts and prays. This is also the person that's described in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're claiming all these great works that they've done. You know, many of these pastors with congregations of 1,000 to 5,000 will have a lot of pride expecting to receive the kingdom. And Paul is saying this clearly. They're not going into the kingdom because of the greatest and original sin of pride, which happened through Satan. Disobedience through Adam and Eve, but pride with Satan. And it's so functional in your Christian church pastors that are aiding Satan in his five-point plan of Isaiah the 14th chapter. I digress.
And I asked him, and I said, why is it that the trees humble themselves and erect themselves again? And the angel answered and said to me, the whole time which these men passed on earth zealously serving God on account of the confusion and reproaches of men, at the time they blushed and humiliated themselves, but they were not saddened, nor did they repent, that they should recede from their pride which was in them. This is why the trees humble themselves and again are raised up. And I asked and I said, for what cause were they admitted to the doors of the city? The angel answered and said unto me, because of the great goodness of God, and because there is the entry of his holy men entering into the city. For this cause they are left in this place. But when Christ, the King Eternal, enters with his saints, as he enters, just men may pray for these, and then they may enter into the city along with them. But yet none of them is able to have assurance such as they have who humble themselves, serving the Lord God all their lives. Chapter 25. But I went out on while the angel instructed me, and he carried me to the river of honey, and I saw there Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos and Micah and Zechariah, the minor and major prophets, and they saluted me in the city. I said to the angel, what way is this? And he said to me, this is the way of the prophets. Everyone who shall have afflicted his soul and not done his own will because of God, when he shall have gone out of the world and have been led to the Lord God and adored him, then by the command of God, he is handed over to Michael, and he leads him into the city to this place of the prophets, and they salute him as their friend and neighbor, because he did the will of God. Again, he led me where there is a river of milk, and I saw in that place all the infants whom Herod slew because of the name of Christ. And they saluted me, and the angel said to me, all who keep their chastity with purity, when they shall have come out of the body, after they adore the Lord God, are delivered to Michael and are led to the infants, and they salute them, saying, they are our brothers and friends and members. In themselves they shall inherit the promises of God. 27. Again, he took me up and carried me to the north of the city and led me where there was a river of wine. And there I saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Lot and Job and other saints. And they saluted me. And I asked and I said, what is this place, my Lord? The angel answered and said to me, all who are receivers of pilgrims when they go out of the world, first adore the Lord God and are delivered to Michael, and by this way are led into the city. And all the just salute him as son and brother, and say unto him, because thou hast observed humanity in the receiving of pilgrims, come have an inheritance in the city of the Lord our God. Every just man shall receive good things of God in the city according to his own action. I want to stop here and comment on this. In the book of Joshua, I believe it is, we see that Abraham, he established his home near what was a crossing point, a place where travelers frequented. And when the three angels that came that were on their way to bring judgment to Sodom, and one of the angels was to instruct Abraham that Sarah would bear a child, Isaac, and that he would be the seed of inheritance for him and the seed of promise, and that the blessings of the birthright would pass through him rather than the elder, Esau, because of his taking wives of the Canaanites, which, like Judah, who did the same, we see that his children were struck down, and his wife passed away, and that the seed of promise passed through Tamar. In similarity, that God has a, and this is kind of an unspoken law, that people are to be kind to travelers and to try to assist and to aid them in their journey, wherever they may be, wherever they may be going, whatever they may be doing, that if you show kindness to them, that even here, we see that there's a special place in heaven to those that do bear kindness, that wash the feet of the travelers, that provide them meal, provide them sustenance, provide them place of rest and sleep. And that in the ancient world, this behavior was expected. And that's one of the reasons why in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a provision that not only would they not help the travelers, and also in the city of the man-eaters, but they would steal their goods, and then they would publicly, you know, allow everybody in the city, they would capture them and allow them to be sexually abused by both men and women. And we know that many of them were sodomites, and that, you know, very unholy and profane things were done to the travelers, which is why we see in the story of Lot, when he took the angels in as his guests, that was a no-no according to the expectations of his city. In fact, his wife, who was part of and from the family of the leadership of Sodom, she went to report Lot for what he had done. And that's why they came to his house. And that is the reason why she was struck down when they left, because she looked back, because that was the place of her family. All of her family, her heritage, her bloodline were from Sodom. And so looking back and weeping at their loss, judgment was brought upon her for what she had done to Lot, because he could have rightly have been killed. And even unto his daughters, you know, who he was willing to pass out their chastity to appease those that had come for the angels, and that they were struck blind so that the righteous could be then removed from the city and judgment brought upon it. But it's very important to God that travelers are well taken care of and provided for. And so, you know, if you have guests that ever come, or if you're ever able to you know, entertain guests. It's also in these times that often the angels, you know, that we are entertaining angels, is when guests come into our house and they are checking to see if we are to show them kindness. Because God has an expectation of that. And so just wanted to reiterate that. And also in the city of the man-eaters, we see how in the stronghold of Satan, not only did they abduct these travelers, but they would pluck out their eyes and then they would fatten them up like, you know, beasts, like cattle. And then every certain day they would hold a ritual of cannibalism where 7 victims were chosen, sacrificed, their body parts dealt out, and their blood captured and consumed. I mean, that's the kind of evil that was taking place in the ancient times. And so if you're not familiar with that story, it is also part of the Great Commission, Book 1 and 2, on the acts of Andrew and Matthias and the city of the man-eaters. It's a very powerful tale, and it's one that you should familiarize yourself with. It also comes from the discourse on the Anti-Nicene Fathers, which this particular text also comes from. All right, let us continue. And again, he carried me near the river of oil on the east of the city, and I saw there men rejoicing and singing psalms. And I said, "Who are those, my Lord?" And the angel said to me, "Those are they who devoted themselves to God with their whole heart and had no pride in themselves. For all those who rejoice in the Lord God and sing psalms to the Lord with their whole heart are here, led into the city." 29. And he carried me into the midst of the city near the 12 walls. But there was in this place a higher wall. And I asked and I said, "Is there in the city of Christ a wall which in honor exceeds this place?" And the angel answering said to me, "There is a second better than the first, and similarly a third than the second, as each exceeds the other, unto the 12th wall." And I said, "Tell me, sir, why one exceeds another in glory?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "All who have in themselves even a little detraction or zeal or pride, something of his glory would be made void even if he were in the city of Christ. Look backward." And turning round, I saw golden thrones placed in each gate, and on them men having golden diadems and gems. And I looked carefully, and I saw inside between the 12 men thrones placed in another rank, which appeared of much glory, so that no one is able to recount their praise. And I asked the angel, and I said, "My Lord, who is on the throne?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "Those thrones belong to those who had goodness and understanding of heart and made themselves fools for the sake of the Lord God, nor knew new scriptures nor psalms, but mindful of one chapter of the commands of God and hearing what it containeth, they wrought thereby in much diligence and had a fight zeal before the Lord God, and the admiration of them will seize all the saints in presence of the Lord God. For talking with one another, they say, 'Wait and see the unlearned who know nothing more,' but which means they merited so great and such a garment and so great glory on account of their innocence. And I saw in the midst of the city a great altar, very high. And there was one standing near the altar whose countenance showed as the sun, and he held in his hands a psaltery and harp and sang psalms, saying, 'Alleluia!' And his voice filled the whole city at the same time. When all they who were on the towers of gates heard him, they responded, 'Alleluia!' So that the foundations of the city were shaken. And I asked the angel, and I said, sir, who is this of so great power? And the angel said to me, this is David. This is the city of Jerusalem. For when Christ, the King of eternity, shall come with the assurance of his kingdom, he again shall go before him that he may sing psalms. And all the just at the same time shall sing psalms, responding, hallelujah. And I said, sir, how did David alone above the other saints make a beginning of psalm singing? And the angel answered and said unto me, because Christ God sits at the right hand of his Father, and this David sings psalms before him in the seventh heaven. And as it is done in the heavens, so also below. Because the host may not be offered to God without David, but it is necessary that David should sing psalms in the hour of the oblation of the body and blood of Christ, as it is performed in heaven, so also on earth.
So as we praise him down here, so is it done in heaven also. You've got to remember that the veil of the temple was ripped so that now we can boldly approach the throne. But the greatest of these is to give psalms, and it said psalms. Now, I'm not going to get on hip-hop and rapping right now because we see that that's highly being used by Satan. So there's a frequency that's not allocated to the same frequency that's going before heaven in songs. And then the other biggest thing is the word alleluia. He's getting ready to tell you what that means. There are camps that I won't say right now that won't say hallelujah because the name Yah is in the back of it, like we're not supposed to use the name Yah, attributing it to Tetragrammaton or Jabulon, which is ever so not true. Alleluia is the highest praise, which comes out of the mouth of Judah, David, the seed of Judah, a priest. We don't worship enough. He said that David has been singing before the throne since the times that he was singing down here on the earth. It went before the throne as a great savior. There are times in your day where you need to make songs of praise and alleluia, which goes before the throne. This takes me back to count it all joy when you're in troubles, diverse temptations, trials, to make song, make merriment in your heart, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's listen to this again about alleluia. Just wanted to point that out.
And I said to the angel, sir, what is alleluia? And the angel answered and said to me, you ask questions about everything. And he said to me, alleluia is said in the Hebrew language of God and the angels. For the meaning of alleluia is this. And I said, sir, what is tekel kat bariz maka? And the angel answered and said unto me, tekel kat bariz maka is let us all bless him together. And I asked the angel and said, sir, do all who say alleluia bless the Lord? And the angel answered and said to me, it is so. And again, therefore, if anyone sing alleluia, and those who are present do not sing at the same time, they commit sin because they do not sing along with him. And I said, my Lord, does he also sin if he be hesitating or very old? The angel answered and said unto me, not so, but he who is able and does not join in the singing, no, such as a despiser of the word, and it would be proud and unworthy that he should not bless the Lord God, his maker.
Hallelujah.
So remember that. Hallelujah means let us all bless the Lord together. Moreover, when he had ceased speaking to me, he led me outside the city through the midst of the trees and far from the places of the land of the good, and put me across the river of milk and honey. And after that, he led me over the ocean, which supports the foundations of heaven. The angel answered and said unto me, Dost thou understand why thou goest hence? And I said, Yes, sir. And he said to me, Come and follow me, and I will show thee the souls of the impious and sinners, that thou mayest know what manner of place it is. And I proceeded with the angel, and he carried me by the setting of the sun, and I saw the beginning of heaven rounded on a great river of water. And I asked, What is this river of water? And he said to me, This is the ocean which surrounds all the earth. And when I was at the outer limit of ocean, I looked, and there was no light in that place, but darkness and sorrow and sadness. And I sighed, and I saw there a fervent river of fire, and in it a multitude of men and women immersed up to the knees, and other men up to the navel, other even up to their lips, others moreover up to their hair. And I asked the angel and said, Sir, who are those in the fiery river? And the angel answered and said to me, They are neither hot nor cold, because they were found neither in the number of the just nor in the number of the impious. For those spent the time of their life on earth, passing some days in prayer, but others in sins and fornications until their death. And I asked him, and I said, Who are these, sir, immersed up to their knees in fire? He answered and said to me, These who are they, when they have gone out of church, throw themselves into strange conversations to dispute. Those indeed who are immersed up to the navel are those who, when they have taken the body and blood of Christ, go and fornicate and do not cease from their sins till they died. Those who are immersed up to the lips are the detractors of each other. When they assemble in the church of God, those up to the eyebrows are those who nod approval of themselves and plot spite against their neighbors. You know, this passage, this verse, and this teaching, it reminds me of those who believe in the once saved, always saved, and that all they have to do is accept Christ as their Messiah, but that they continue to sin. They aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. They aren't born again in Christ. And they, when, you know, like the adulteress that was brought before, and that Christ began to write down in the sand all of the sins of the priests that were before him, because he knew all of their secret behaviors, all of their hidden sins, the things that they did in the darkness. And when he started to reveal that, and he said to them, Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, they all scattered like cockroaches when the light turned on, because they knew he was convicting them, and they had no right to cast a stone at her. And then, you know, when he said to go forth, sin no more, that's the commandment. That's for all of us, if we are truly born again in him, that we are different, and that we are not like who we were in living lives of sinners, and who were lukewarm in honoring the word and following the commandments. He said, if you love me, do the commandments, follow the Father's commandments. All right, we got just a little time, so I'm going to try to make it through some more of this. 32. And I saw on the north a place of various and diverse punishments, full of men and women, and a river of fire ran down into it. Moreover, I observed, and I saw pits great in depth, and in them several souls together. And the depth of that place was as it were 3,000 cubits, and I saw them groaning and weeping, and saying, have pity on us. O Lord, and none had pity on them. And I asked the angel, and I said, who are these, sir? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are they who did not hope in the Lord, that they would be able to have him as their helper. And I asked and I said, sir, if these souls remain for 30 or 40 generations, thus one upon another, if they were sent deeper, the pits, I believe, would not hold them. And he said to me, the abyss has no measure, for beyond this it stretches down below him who is down in it. And so it is that if perchance anyone should take a stone and throw it into a very deep well, and after many hours it should reach the bottom, such is the abyss. For when the souls are thrown in there, they hardly reach the bottom in 50 years. That's why it's called the bottomless pit. 33. I, indeed, when I heard this, wept and groaned over the human race. The angel answered and said unto me, why dost thou weep? Art thou more pitiful than God? For though God is good, he knows also that there are punishments, and he patiently bears with the human race, dismissing each one to work his own will in the time in which he dwells on the earth. I further observed the fiery river and saw there a man being tortured by Tartarian angels, having in their hands an iron with three hooks, with which they pierced the bowels of that old man. And I asked the angel and said, sir, who is that old man on whom such torments are imposed? And the angel answered and said to me, he whom you see was a presbyter who did not perform well his ministry. When he had been eating and drinking and committing fornication, he offered the host to the Lord at his holy altar. How shameful. 35. And I saw not far away another old man led by malign angels running with speed, and they pushed him into the fire up to his knees, and they struck him with stones and wounded his face like a storm, and did not allow him to say, have pity on me. And I asked the angel, and he said to me, he whom you see was a bishop and did not perform well his episcopate, who indeed accepted the great name, but did not enter into the witness of him who gave him the name in all his life, seeing that he did not do just judgment and did not pity widows and orphans, but now he receives retribution according to his iniquity and his works. 36. And I saw another man in the fiery river up to his knees. Moreover, his hands were stretched out and bloody, and worms proceeded from his mouth and nostrils, and he was groaning and weeping and crying. And he said, have pity on me, for I am hurt above the rest who are in this punishment. And I asked, sir, who is this? And he said to me, this man whom thou seest was a deacon who devoured the oblations and committed fornications and did not right in the sight of God. For this cause he unceasingly pays this penalty. And I looked closely, and I saw alongside him another man whom they delivered up with haste and cast into the fiery river. And he was in it up to the knees, and there came the angel who was set over the punishment, having a great fiery razor. And with it he cut the lips of that man and the tongue likewise. And sighing, I lamented and asked, who is that, sir? And he said to me, he whom thou seest was a reader and read to the people, but he himself did not keep the precepts of God. Now he also pays the proper penalty. All right, I'll read just a couple more. We got just a couple more minutes. 37, and I saw another multitude of pits in the same place, and in the midst of it a river full of multitude of men and women, and worms consumed them. But I lamented and sighing asked the angel and said, sir, who are these? And he said to me, these are they who exacted interest on interest and trusted in their riches and did not hope in God that he was their helper. And after that, I looked and I saw another place, very narrow, and it was like a wall and fire round about it. And I saw inside men and women gnawing their tongues, and I asked, sir, who are these? And he said to me, these are they who in church disparage the word of God, not attending to it, but as it were made not of God and his angels. For that cause they now likewise pay the proper penalty. Last one, 38. Well, it's not the last one, but it's the last one I'm going to read tonight. And I observed and I saw another old man down in a pit. And his countenance was like blood. And I asked and said, sir, what is this place? And he said to me, into that pit stream all the punishments. And I saw men and women immersed up to the lips. And I asked, sir, who are these? And he said to me, these are the magicians who prepare for men and women evil magic arts and did not find how to stop them till they died. And again, I saw men and women with very black faces in a pit of fire. And I sighed and lamented and asked, sir, who are these? And he said to me, these are fornicators and adulterers who committed adultery having wives of their own. Likewise, also the women committing adultery having husbands of their own. Therefore, they unceasingly suffer these penalties. And I saw there girls having black raiment, four terrible angels having in their hands burning chains, and they put them on the necks of the girls, led them into darkness, and again weeping, asked the angel, who are these, sir? And he said to me, these are they who, when they were virgins, defiled their virginity, unknown to their parents, for which cause they unceasingly pay the proper penalties. And again, I observed there are men and women with hands cut, their feet placed naked in a place of ice, snow, worms devoured them. But seeing them, I lamented and asked, sir, who are these? And he said to me, these are they who harmed orphans and widows and the poor and did not hope in the Lord, for which cause they unceasingly pay the proper penalties. All right, we're going to have to stop there. I encourage you to read the rest, and remember, we are...
Okay, I'll see if I can pick up from here. There are only seven more, and then we'll go ahead and close out. I hope you're being blessed by this, and you're seeing the seriousness of these people's sins. Just mentioned young ladies giving up their virginity at parties, behind closed doors, losing their chastity. These people are in torment, and I don't know if you paid attention to the part that hell beneath the plane of the earth is so deep that you could throw a man in the pit of Sheol and he will not have reached the bottom after 50 years' time, which is why it's called the bottomless pit. I'm going to start from 40. And I observed and saw men and women clothed in bright garments, having their eyes blind, placed in a pit. And I asked, sir, who are those? And he said to me, these are of the people who did alms and knew not the Most High, for which reason they unceasingly pay their proper penalties. And I observed and saw other men and women on an obelisk of fire and beasts tearing them in pieces. And they were not allowed to say, Lord, have pity on us. They could not even cry out for that mercy. And I saw the angel of penalties putting heavy punishments on them, saying, acknowledge the Son of God, for this was predicted to you when the divine scriptures were read to you and you did not attend, for which cause God's judgment is just for your actions, have apprehended you and brought you into these penalties. But I sighed and wept, and I asked and said, who are these men and women who are strangled in fire and pay their penalties? And he answered me, these are women who defiled the image of God when bringing forth infants out of the womb, and these are the men who laid with them, and their infants addressed the Lord God and the angels who were set over the punishment, saying, cursed be the hour to our parents, for they defiled the image of God, having the name of God, but not observing his precepts. They gave us food. They gave us for food to dogs and to be trodden down of swine. Others they threw into the river, but their infants were handed over to the angels of Tartarus, who were set over the punishments that they might lead them to a wide place of mercy, but their fathers and mothers were tortured in a perpetual punishment. These are victims of adultery, fornication, whose babies were, of course, aborted, are given away for adoption and murdered or died or tortured. A lot of these kids that go into adoption are sodomized. After that, I saw men and women clothed with rags full of pitch and fiery sulfur, and dragons were coiled about their necks and shoulders and feet, and angels having fiery horns restrained them and smote them and closed their nostrils, saying to them, why did ye not know the time in which it was right to repent and serve God, and did not do it? And I asked, sir, who are these? And he said to me, these are they who seem to give up the world for God, putting on our garb, but the impediments of the world made them wretched, not maintaining agape, which is love, and they did not pity widows and orphans, and they did not receive the stranger and the pilgrim, nor did they offer the oblations, and they did not pity their neighbors. Listen, this is somebody who accepts God, accepts Christ, act like they're keeping the commandments, but they stay to themselves and don't care about nobody else. Did not receive the stranger and the pilgrim. They were too good to let people in their homes. Nor did they offer oblations, and they did not pity their neighbor. Moreover, their prayer did not even on one day ascend pure to the Lord God. But many impediments of the world detained them, and they were not able to do right in the sight of God, and the angels enclosed them in the place of punishments. Moreover, they saw those who were in punishments and said to them, we indeed, when we lived in the world, neglected God, and ye also did likewise. As we also truly, when we were in the world, knew that ye were sinners, but you said, these are just and servants of God. Now we know why you were called by the name of the Lord, for which cause they also paid their own penalties. And sighing, I wept and said, woe unto men, woe unto sinners, why were they born? And the angel answered and said unto me, why dost thou lament? Art thou more pitiful than the Lord God, who is blessed forever, who established judgment and sent forth every man to choose good and evil in his own will and do what pleases him? Then I lamented again very greatly. And he said to me, dost thou lament when as yet thou hast not seen greater punishments? Follow me, and thou shalt see seven times greater than these. 41. And he carried me south and placed me above a well, and I found it sealed with seven seals. And answering, the angel who was with me said to the angel of that place, open the mouth of the well, that Paul, the well-beloved of God, may see, for authority is given him that he may see all the pains of hell. And the angel said to me, stand afar off, that thou mayest be able to bear the stench of this place. When therefore the well was opened, immediately there arose from it a certain hard and malign stench, which surpasses all punishments. And I looked into the well, and I saw fiery masses glowing in every part, and narrow places, and the mouth of the well was narrow, so as to admit one man only. And the angel answered and said unto me, if any man shall have been put into this well of the abyss, and it shall have been sealed over him, no remembrance of him shall ever be made in the sight of the Father and his Son and the holy angels. And I said, who are these, sir, who are put into this well? And he said to me, they are whoever shall not confess that Christ has come in the flesh and that the Virgin Mary brought him forth. And whosoever says that the bread and the cup of the Eucharist of blessing are not this body and blood of Christ. And I looked to the south and the west, and I saw there a restless worm, and in that place there was gnashing of teeth. Moreover, the worms were one cubit long and had two heads. And there I saw men and women in cold and gnashing of teeth. This describes when hell says there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's also going to be extreme coldness, not just hot in hell. Cold is torment as well. I continue, and I asked and said, sir, who are these in this place? And he said to me, these are they who say that Christ did not rise from the dead and that this flesh will not rise again. These are your deniers that we live with today in this remote generation that don't believe in Christ whatsoever. And I asked and said, sir, is there no fire nor heat in this place? And he said to me, in this place, there is nothing else but cold and snow. And again, he said to me, even if the sun should rise upon them, They do not become warm on account of the super abundant cold of that place in the snow. Hearing these things, I stretched out my hands and wept and sighed again. I said, it were better for us if we had not been born, all of us who are sinners. 43. But when those who were in the same place saw me weeping with the angel, they themselves cried out and wept, saying, Lord God, have mercy on us. And after these things, I saw the heavens open, and Michael the archangel descending from heaven, and with him was the whole army of angels. And they came to those who were placed in punishment, and seeing him again weeping, they cried out and said, have pity on us, Michael the archangel, have pity on us and on the human race. For on account of thy prayers, the earth standeth. We now see the judgment and acknowledge the Son of God. It was impossible for us before these things to pray for this, before we entered into this place. For we heard that there was a judgment before we went out of the world, but impediments in the life of the world did not allow us to repent. And Michael answered and said, hear Michael speaking. I am he who stands in the sight of God every hour, as the Lord liveth, in whose sight I stand. I do not intermit one day or one night, evening, praying incessantly for the human race. And I indeed pray for those who are on the earth, but they do not cease doing iniquity and fornications, and they do not bring to me any good while they are placed on earth. And ye have consumed in vanity the time in which you ought to have repented. But I have always prayed thus, and now beseech that God may send dew and send forth rains upon the earth. And now I desire until the earth produce its fruits. And verily I say that if any have done but a little good, will I agonize for him, protecting him till he have escaped the judgment of penalties. Where therefore are your prayers? Where are your penances? You have lost your time contemptuously. Now you weep, and I will weep with you, and the angels who are with me, with the well-beloved Paul. If perchance the merciful God will have pity and give you refreshment. But hearing these words, they cried out and wept greatly, and all said with one voice, have pity on us, Son of God. And I, Paul, sighed and said, O Lord God, have pity on thy creatures. Have pity on the sons of men. Have pity on thine image. And I looked and saw the heaven move like a tree shaken by the wind. Suddenly, moreover, they threw themselves on their faces in the sight of the throne. And I saw 24 elders and 24,000 adoring God. And I saw an altar and veil and throne, and all were rejoicing, and the smoke of good odor was raised near the altar of the throne of God. And I heard the voice of one saying, for the sake of what do ye, our angels and ministers, intercede? And they cried out, saying, we intercede, seeing thy many kindness to the human race. And after these things, I saw the Son of God descending from heaven, and a diadem was on his head. And seeing him, those who were placed in punishment exclaimed all with one voice, saying, have pity, Son of the High God. Thou art he who showest refreshment for all in the heavens and on the earth, and on us likewise. Have pity, for since we have seen thee, we have refreshment. And a voice went out from the Son of God through all the punishment, saying, and what work have you done that you demand refreshment from me? My blood was poured out for your sakes, and not even so did you repent for your sakes. I wore the crown of thorns on my head. For you I received buffets on my cheeks. Not even so did you repent. I asked water when I was hanging on the cross, and they gave me vinegar mixed with gall. With a spear they opened my right side. For my name's sake, they slew my prophets and just men and all these things. I gave you a place of repentance, and you wouldn't. Now, however, for the sake of Michael, the archangel of my covenant, and the angels, let me pause. Right here you see a clear, distinct difference between Michael and the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. They are not one and the same. The archangel of my covenant and the angels who are with him, and because of Paul, the well-beloved, whom I will not vex, for the sake of your brethren who are in the world and offer oblations, and for the sake of your sons, because my precepts are in them, and more for the sake of mine own kindness on the day on which I rose from the dead, I give to you all who are in punishment a night and a day of refreshment forever. And they all cried out and said, we bless thee, Son of God, that thou hast given us a night and a day of respite, for better to us is a refreshment of one day above all the time of our life, which we were on earth. And if we had plainly known that this was intended for those who sinned, we would have worked no other work. We would have done no business, and we would have done no iniquity. What need had we for pride in the world? For here our pride is crushed, which ascended from our mouth against our neighbors, our plagues and excessive straitness, and the tears and the worms which are under us. These are much worse to us than the pains which we have left behind. When they said thus, the malign angels of the penalties were angered with them, saying, how long do you lament and sigh? For you had no pity. For this is the judgment of God who had no pity. But you received this great grace of a day and a night's refreshment on the Lord's day for the sake of Paul, the well-beloved of God who descended to you. Verse 45. After that, the angel said to me, has thou seen all these things? And I said, yes, sir. And he said to me, follow me, and I will lead thee into paradise, that the just who are there may see thee. For lo, they hope to see thee, and they are ready to come to meet thee in joy and gladness. This is Paul in his physical form, saying, and he's telling him that there are people in paradise that are waiting to see you before you go back to finish your mission on earth. And I followed the angel by the impulse of the Holy Spirit, and he placed me in paradise and said to me, this is paradise in which Adam and his wife erred. Moreover, I entered paradise and saw the beginning of waters, and there was an angel making a sign to me, and he said to me, observe, said he, the waters, for this is the river of Pishon, which surrounds all the land of Havilah, and the second is Gihon, which surrounds all the land of Egypt and Ethiopia, and the third is Tigris, which is over, and another is Euphrates, which waters all the land. I will continue. This will go into overtime. Of Mesopotamia. And when I had gone inside, I saw a tree planted from whose roots were flowed out. And from this beginning, there were four rivers, and the Spirit of God rested on that tree. And when the Spirit blew, the waters flowed forth. And I said, my Lord, is it this tree itself which makes the waters flow? And he said to me, that from the beginning, before the heavens and earth were manifested, and all things here invisible, the Spirit of God was born upon the waters. But from the time when the command of God made the heavens and earth to appear, the Spirit rested upon this tree. Wherefore, whenever the Spirit blows, the waters flow forth from the tree. And he held me by the hand and led me near the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And he said, this is the tree by which death entered into the world, and receiving of it through his wife, Adam ate, and death entered into the world. And he showed me another tree in the midst of paradise and said to me, this is the tree of life. 46, just two more to go. While I was yet looking upon the tree, I saw a virgin coming from afar off and 200 angels before her singing hymns. And I asked and said, sir, who is she who comes in so great glory? And he said to me, this is Mary the virgin, the mother of the Lord. And coming near, she saluted me and said, hail, Paul, well-beloved of God and angels and men, for all the saints prayed, my son Jesus, who is my Lord, that thou mightest come hither in the body. We were all praying that we would get a chance to meet you in the flesh, in paradise, before you continue your work and come here in the spirit. That is mighty. Let me continue reading this. This is awesome. And the Lord said to them, bear and be patient yet a little while, and you shall see him, and he shall be with you forever. And again, they all said to him together, do not vex us, for we desire to see him in the flesh. God told them to be patient. Wait, he's going to die soon and he'll be with you. They said, no, we want to meet him in the flesh. These are people that have passed on before that are observing. We're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on, and they're seeing the works that we're doing. You could be caught up in a vision to go into heaven and interact with these people as Paul was, and have to wake up and come back and finish your work. before you get to go and reside there. Brothers and sisters, I hope you've seen the magnitude of why I wanted to read this to you so that it would give you some hope and encouragement. Let me finish out. Listen to what the saints in paradise said. Do not vex us, for we desire to see him in the flesh. For by him, thy name was greatly glorified in the world. And we have seen that he endured all the labors, whether of the greater or of the less. This we learn from those who come hither. Everybody who's going up, talking about Paul. For when we say, who is he who directed you in the world? They reply to us, there is one in the world whose name is Paul. He reaches and announces Christ. And we believe that many have entered into the kingdom through the virtue and sweetness of his speeches. Behold, all the just men are behind me, coming to meet thee, Paul. And I first come for this cause, to meet them who did the will of my son and my Lord Jesus Christ. I first advance to meet them and do not send them away to be as wanderers until they meet in peace. Paul had a meet and greet before he died with almost all the saints up in the third heaven in paradise. It's amazing. Final one, 47. When she had thus spoken, I saw three coming from afar, very beautiful in the likeness of Christ, and their forms were shining, and their angels. And I asked, sir, who are these? And he said to me, dost thou not know those? And I said, no, sir. And he answered, these are the fathers of the people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And coming near, they saluted me and said, hail, Paul, well beloved of God and men. Blessed is he who suffers violence for the Lord's sake. And Abraham answered me and said, this is my son Isaac. Pause. Abraham's introducing Paul to his son, as his son, up in the third heavens in paradise. I hope this is becoming more real to you, because they made heaven seem like some mystical far-off place where we won't remember nothing. Not true. They're observing, knowing, watching. They see your great deeds. If your parents or children have gone on and they've made it to that place, they're with people, family members that they know. Selah moment. This is my son Isaac, and Jacob, my well-beloved, his grandson. And we have known the Lord and followed him. Blessed are all they who believed in the world, that they may be able to inherit the kingdom of God by labor, by renunciation and sanctification and humility and charity and meekness. Listen to what Abraham said again. Those inherit the kingdom of God by labor, doing the work, renunciation, renouncing the world, sanctification, being set apart, separating yourself from people in the world, humility, being humble, charity, giving to people, and being meek. That's in character. And right faith in the Lord Jesus. And we also have had devotion to the Lord whom thou preachest in the testament, that we might assist those who believed in him with their whole soul, and might minister unto them as fathers minister to their children. They're ministering unto us. When they had thus spoken, I saw other 12 coming from afar in honor, and asked, sir, who are these? And he said, these are the patriarchs. And coming near, they saluted me and said, hail, Paul, well beloved of God and men. The Lord did not vex us, that we might see thee yet in the body before thou goest out of the world. And each one of them reminded me of his name in order, from Reuben to Benjamin and Joseph, and said to me, I am he who was sold. But I say to thee, Paul, that all the things, whatever my brothers did to me, in nothing did I act maliciously with them, nor in all the labor which they imposed on me, nor in any point was I hurt by them on that account from morning till evening. Blessed is he who receives some hurt on account of the Lord and bears it, for the Lord will repay it to him manifold when he shall have gone out of the world. And when he had spoken thus far, I saw another beautiful one coming from afar, and his angels were singing hymns. And I asked, sir, who is this that is beautiful of countenance? And he said to me, dost thou not know him? No, sir. And he said to me, this is Moses, the lawgiver, to whom God gave the law. When he had come near to me, he immediately started weeping. And after that, he saluted me and said to him, why dost thou lament? For I have heard that thou excellest every man in meekness. And he answered, saying, I weep for those whom I planted with toil, because they did not bear fruit, nor did any profit by them. And I saw all the sheep whom I fed, that they were scattered and became as if they had no shepherd. And because all the toils which I endured for the sake of the sons of Israel were accounted as naught. See, he gave the law, but that entire generation and our ancestors and forefathers disobeyed it and went into 7 captivities. And he weeps because they didn't listen. And they even kept him from going into the land, caused him to strike the rock. I digress. Israel has not entered. Hold on. He said, worshipers have been converted and have entered into the promises of God. But Israel has not entered. And now I say unto thee, Brother Paul, that in that hour when the people hang Jesus, whom thou preachest, that the Father, the God of all, who gave me the law, and Michael, and all the angels and archangels, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the just wept over the Son of God hanging on the cross. In that hour, all the saints attended on me, looking upon me, and they said to me, see, Moses, what men of thy people have done to the Son of God. This is what Moses went through in heaven, because our people said, give us Barabbas. Moses said, wherefore thou art blessed, Paul, and blessed the generation and race which believed in thy word. When he had spoken thus far, there came other 12, and seeing me, said, art thou Paul, the glorified in heaven and on earth? And I answered and said, what are ye? The first answered and said, I am Isaiah, whom Manasseh cut asunder with a wooden saw. Second, likewise, I'm Jeremiah, who was stoned by the children of Israel and slain. Third said, I'm Ezekiel, whom the children of Israel dragged by the feet over a rock until they knocked out my brains. And we endured all these toils, wishing to save the children of Israel. And I say unto thee that after the toils which the Lord laid upon me, I cast myself on my face in the sight of the Lord, praying for them, bending my knees until the second hour of the Lord's day, till Michael came and lifted me up from the earth. Blessed art thou, Paul, and blessed the nation which believed through thee. And as these passed, I saw another beautiful of countenance, who, and I asked, sir, who is this? Who, when he had seen me, rejoiced and said to me, this is Lot, who was found just and solemn. And approaching me, and said, blessed art thou, Paul, and blessed the generation to which thou did minister. And I answered and said to him, are there a Lot who was found just and solemn? And he said, I entertained angels as travelers, and when they of the city wished to violate them, I offered them my 2 virgin daughters, who had not yet known men, and gave them to them, saying, use them as you will. But only to these men you shall do no evil, for this cause they entered under the roof of my house. For this cause, therefore, we ought to be confident and know that if anyone shall have done anything, God shall repay him manifold when they shall come to him. Blessed art thou, Paul, and blessed the nation which believes in thy words. When therefore he had ceased talking to me, I saw another coming from a distance, very beautiful of countenance and smiling, and his angels were singing, and said to the angel who was with me, has then each of the just an angel for a companion? And he said to me, each one of the saints has his own angel assisting him. The saints are the children of Israel, and singing a hymn. And the one does not depart from the other, ever, always with you. And I said, who is this, sir? And he said, this is Job. And approaching, he saluted me, and he said, this is Job. And approaching, he saluted me and said, Brother Paul, thou hast great praise with God and men, for I am Job, who labored much for a period of 30 years from a plague in the blood. I hope you notice this trend. Let me pause. These are people that he's seeing now that suffered a lot, and they're testifying of all the suffrage they went through, starting with Moses, who wept because he gave the law, but everybody from then on went into captivity and disobeyed the commandments that led us to this point. And Paul was going to be one of the last. They were letting Paul know that he's getting ready to go back and face death and face this suffering. They were encouraging him. He was meeting everyone that became a martyr, and they're testifying to him and letting him see the greatness. This is preparing him to finish his ministry when he goes back to earth. This is so profound, people. But on the third day, they became as the foot of an ass, worms, moreover, which fell 4 digits in length. And on the third day, I'm going to skip past this Job thing and go down to this last part. 50. When he had spoken thus far, another came calling from afar and saying, blessed art thou, Paul, and blessed am I, because I saw thee the blood of the Lord. And I asked the angel, sir, who is this? And he answered and said unto me, this is Noah, time of the deluge. And immediately we saluted each other. And greatly rejoicing, he said to me, thou art Paul, the most beloved of God. And I asked him, who art thou? And he said, I am Noah, who was in the time of the deluge. And I say to thee, Paul, that working for 100 years, I made the ark. I didn't pull off my tunic with which I was clad, nor did I cut the hair of my head. Till then also I cherished countenance, not approaching my wife. That was for 100 years he didn't touch his wife. My God. In those 100 years, not a hair of my head grew in length, nor did my garments become soiled. I besought men at all times, saying, repent, because the flood is coming. But they laughed at me. They mocked my words. And again, they said to me, but this is the time of those who are able to play and sin freely. We're not repenting. This is the time to kick it. It's going down. Desiring her with whom it is possible to commit fornication frequently. We're looking for people to have sex with. This is the world we live in. But God does not regard this and does not know what things are done by us men. And there's no flood coming. And this is how people are talking about the return of Christ now. And they did not cease from their sins till God destroyed all flesh, which had the breath of life in it. Know that then God loveth one just man more than all the world of the impious. Wherefore, blessed art thou, Paul, and blessed is the nation which believes through thee. And turning around, I saw other just ones coming from afar. And I asked, who are these? And it was Elias and Elisha, and they saluted me. And Elias, the prophet of God, who prayed because of my word, the heavens did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. We know the story of Elias and Elisha. I'm going to skip down to, this is the last one. And often the angels asked that he would give them rain, and he gave not until I called upon him again. Most High did not send rain in the times of Elias and Elijah until the angels wanted the rain. But they said, God told the angels, I'm not sending the rain until Elijah and Elias prays for it. This is the end right here, folks. And the angel who was with me led me forth and said unto me, lo, unto thee is given this mystery and revelation as thou pleasest. Make it known unto the sons of men. And I, Paul, returned unto myself back in the earth, and I knew all that I had seen, and in life I had not rest that I might reveal this mystery. But I wrote it all down, everything he saw, and deposited it under the ground and the foundation of a certain faithful man whom I used to be in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. I got to pause there because there's a group, a camp of people who refuse to read books that are hidden, lost, and being discovered because they believe all the books were destroyed in the temple. This is the excuse they use. They use that when the temples were sieged in Jerusalem, that they destroyed all the scrolls and that everyone that was rewritten now is false and it's a lie. That's not true. These books were hidden in the ground, and the earth is releasing these books, these fragments of Qumran, the caves of Qumran, the tablets of Gabriel. All this stuff is coming up because the Most High is allowing it. And as we see here, he instructed Paul not to even take this book to the temple, but to plant it in a city underneath the ground and trust a man to watch over it. Don't let anybody tell you what to read, what not to read, what's false, what's not false. Allow the Holy Spirit to interpret and reveal these scriptures to you. The book of Enoch is very true. Let me finish reading what Paul said. And when I was released from this life of time and stood before my Lord, thus said he unto me, Paul, have we shown all these things unto thee that thou shouldest deposit them under the foundation of a house? Then send and disclose concerning this revelation that men may read it and turn to the way of the truth, that they also may not come to these bitter torments. This book is to save you and hopefully make you not want to go to hell. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat Shalom, Kwam Yasha Allah, We are already in overtime, and I pray that you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Peace and blessings.
God bless.